Dear saints, let us worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. We worship God in spirit and in truth.
Revelation 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Let us pray and praise our God together. Our most holy God, you are Alpha and Omega, the one who was and is and ever will be. Before the first word was spoken, and after the last age has passed away, you remain the same. All things find their beginning in you, and in you their appointed end. We praise you that you have not remained distant from your creation, but have made yourself known through your word and supremely and your Son, Jesus Christ, who bears faithful witness to the truth and reigns forever. As you have been faithful in ages past, so you will be faithful in the age to come. Receive our worship, Lord, this day. As we gather in your presence, fix our hearts on your unchanging reign. Let our praise confess that you alone are Lord of history and hope, the beginning and the end, now and forever. Amen. A chief duty of the Christian life is regular, honest repentance. John Chrysostom once said that God made sin shameful so that we would abstain from it and gives us confidence to confess by promising forgiveness to those who repent. But on the other hand, the devil does the opposite. He tries to make us confident to sin, and then once sin is committed, he inspires shame to prevent people from repenting of it. Don't fall for this lie. When you sin, own up to your sin. Confess it as a sin and repent of it. Pretending to be sinless, making excuses for your sin, blaming others for your sin, or confessing a lesser sin that's sort of but not quite the sin you actually committed, these are all just ways of avoiding dealing with your sin. Revelation 2:4-5 says, Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Please kneel with me as we confess our sins to the Lord. Let us confess together. Merciful Father, we confess that we have not loved you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. Forgive us these sins and fill us with your Holy Spirit to fully love you and our neighbor. Teach us to lay down our lives for one another as Jesus laid down his life for us. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for hearing and forgiving us in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Rise up, O saints of God, forgiven in Christ Jesus. In Revelation 1, we read, Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Dear saints, the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sin. Rejoice, you are forgiven.
Thanks be to God. Our New Testament scripture is Revelation chapter 22. Hear the word of the Lord. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded a fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. And he saith unto me, Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the waters of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord. Our Father, we thank you for your word and for the ending of your words written in your book. They are glorious and redound to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ and his purposes of creation and redemption in his Son and in his Spirit. We pray, Father, that you would give us illumination of your word, that we would walk in obedience to you and receive the blessings of your Spirit all our days. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Each year I do a State of the Church address. That is this one. This is the last of our occasional sermons until we get back to our regularly scheduled program of preaching through the books of the Bible. This was a little bit delayed this year with the weather and with some traveling on my part. I plan on preaching through a few psalms in the weeks to come and then through various chapters of Isaiah, so that's what's coming up. In this sermon, I attempt to say something about the state of the church in the world, in our commonwealth, in our local church here at Providence. I have a couple of comments about the International and Commonwealth Church, but want to reserve most of my comments today for remembrances of God's blessings to Providence Church in 2025. The International Church is, I started doing these sermons several years ago, and it's sometimes, if we think about the church in the world, you would think that it wouldn't change that much in any one year. As I began to do these sermons every year, I found that that was incorrect. Big things happen around the world, and sometimes this really alters the course of history and the place or the rate of the growth of the church around the world. This last year, I think there are two or three major things that are going on. You've heard from time to time about the persecution of Christians in Nigeria, being murdered there ruthlessly young girls taken prisoner and abducted. This is all being done by Muslims there. And then most recently in Iran, also a great deal of persecution to their general population, but a lot of it is also aimed at Christians. I cannot objectively corroborate the report, but I have heard several reports of a revival going on amongst Christians in Iran, that many people there are jettisoning their Islamic roots and embracing Christ. Of course, there's a long history of Christian faith in Iran, but the Christians there have been at least subdued for quite some time by the Muslim regime there. So as these Christians are martyred in Nigeria and Iran and other places around the world, largely by Muslims, perhaps exclusively by Muslims in these countries, we need to remember that the seed of the church is the blood of the martyrs. And even though, I'm preaching through the book of Acts, as we went through the book of Acts, and as the church was persecuted from place to place, Paul and the various Christians were attacked. And what was the result? Time and again, over and over again, the church grew. And the such as who were being saved was added to the number of the church. So while we see these distressing things happening in various places, we need to understand that the universal church continues to expand at a rate that we have not known in the past. The worldwide church is doing just fine and growing, and God is working his will in the world. There have also been various national movements around the world, I think in places like Ireland and in England and in other places as well. You think of Hungary or perhaps Argentina, where there are sort of national movements. Some of these movements are political, but they're also motivated in a large part by Muslim immigration, by the Muslim culture coming into these places and attacking the historic Christian roots. There's particularly in Western democracies, they use our own laws against us, freedom of speech and these sorts of things, and then flip it upon the Christians in this culture. So these nationalistic sort of movements are a great blessing, and I think proved then to also make space for a growing church. Marco Rubio just delivered a powerful speech to the EU that upheld the Christian heritage of the West. Really incredible speech. I think it was yesterday or the day before. If you haven't watched it yet, look it up. You will not even hardly believe the things that he is saying, that they're coming from our country. It's very, very encouraging. He called upon Europe to join President Trump and the United States in defending this Western heritage. He also warned them that if they do not do this, they will lose the support of the United States and lose their own cultural heritage as well. In fact, it's largely diminished in much of Europe, in the UK particularly. It's in a great deal of trouble. Perhaps Europe is too far gone to make a change, but Rubio's speech was a clarion call to change now or lose everything in the very near future. Rubio's speech was not merely political. He was speaking from a Christian worldview. It was a bold statement against Islamic globalization, as well as against an anti-God woke liberalism. The Charlie Kirk effect lives on in many of our national leaders, Trump, Vance, Rubio, Hegseth, Miller, and others, granting them the boldness to speak the truth in the face of all opposition. Thinking of our own country and Charlie Kirk, Charlie Kirk was murdered on September 10th, 2025. I had forgotten the date. When I looked this up the other day, I was surprised that it was September. In my thinking, it was much longer ago, perhaps maybe early in the summer or something like that. So much seems to have happened since then. Charlie was a great conservative, but more than that, he was a great Christian apologist. He inspired thousands of college students to consider Christ, to question liberal ideas, to become involved in the political process. His main refrain to young men was, go to church, Get married. Have children. This is how you change the world. Charlie was right. And he changed the world. After he was killed, there was a huge interest in attending church. Many people went for the first time. We had some people who attended our church that had not attended for a long time. Others returned to Christ after having drifted away from him and from his church. The Charlie Kirk effect and the Trump administration pushed back to the woke madness of trans mania, climate hysteria, and DEI insanity was a reason for optimism about the future of America, both politically and in Christ's church. I don't know about you, but some of that shine has dulled a bit for me. Perhaps it's just pessimism about the turn of events in Virginia, but it also has to do with the short news cycle. The page turns quickly, and the mainstream media does everything it can to support the lies of liberalism and conceal any glory that pertains to God. So the long-term effect of the pushback against the darkness may be going strong, but not yet visible. I believe this to be true. I think there are many, many tens of thousands of new Christians that are going to rise up in the months, perhaps, and years to come. Pray the Lord will grant true hearts of flesh to thousands and tens of thousands who returned to his church last year so that they do what Charlie said. Go to church, embrace Christ, get married, have children, transform culture. In our nation, our country continues to solidify its divide between red and blue states. This divide seems to be getting more divisive, more marked. Red getting redder, blue getting bluer. There may be no antidote to this. We thought Virginia was purple, but now seems solidly blue. Lord, deliver us from our current wicked administration. In Virginia, we had a bit of a reprieve from our decline these last 4 years as God was kind to give us a Christian governor, even though we had a liberal controlled legislature. Governor Youngkin vetoed many terrible bills. The table has turned drastically in our last election as both houses are now controlled by extreme leftists, and we elected a governor who will sign every abomination of a bill that gets sent to her desk. They now seek to institutionalize their liberalism by gerrymandering the Virginia districts to control both houses permanently. You may have seen this in the news. Christians are to blame to some degree for some of this folly. Virginia has historically been a Christian commonwealth. It is now run by liberal Christians, which is to say, not Christian at all. See Gresham Machen. But if those Virginia Christians who actually believe in the Bible, people like you, would vote, then much of this folly can be prevented. If you are a Christian of voting age and did not vote in the last couple of elections, then you are partially to blame. Repent of your abdication and make it your aim to do your duty in future elections. In our own denomination in the United States, the CREC, continues to grow. We've grown at a rapid pace since 2020, but even in these last couple years, we've grown a lot. A lot of the larger churches have really gotten quite large. Even 5 years ago in the CREC, a church of 200 was a mega church. We had only a couple of those in the whole CREC. And now we have quite a few churches that are, 400 or 500 strong, and this continues to grow. In addition to the churches getting larger, our churches are planting many new churches. And so I'm very encouraged by this. Within the state of the church in America, the woke influence that's come into the church, it's not at all been prevalent in our churches, which is driving many people in our churches. If their churches have grown weak, whether they're in the broader Reformed church or in the sort of modern evangelical church, they're seeking out a place where the Word of God is spoken unapologetically. And that's, for the most part, in all of our churches. So I'm encouraged by this. Many of you who are new here are here for that very reason. We're glad you're here, and we pray that you would continue to submit yourself to the authority of the Word of God. DomNet is our church planting network, and so that is an institution that we use to raise funds to help CREC churches plant new churches. There are several that we are supporting now. Reformed Evangelical Seminary, most of you are aware of now because it's a mission that we are supporting as a church. We launched this seminary a few years ago. We're in our third year. Since the CREC is growing and individual churches are growing and adding new pastors, we need to be training up the next generation of pastors in the CREC. And we're in addition to new churches and growing churches, we're getting more gray beards like myself. Several of our key leaders who are older than me, 5 or 10 years older than me, and so we're going to be having quite a few men sort of age out of the ministry in the next 10 years. So we really need to be working on developing the next generation. And as you know, I've been elected as the next president of our seminary. That will start in July of this year. The seminary is doing well and growing, so I encourage you to continue to pray for the work of RES. One of the things that we do every year in this sermon, I'm going to run through this relatively quickly, is remember. Remember what God has done. Remember his blessings that he's poured out upon you. If you remember and don't forget, then there's no way for you to be bitter. There's no way for you to be angry at God. He always treats you better than you deserve, even if you've suffered various trials and difficulties. God's blessings far outweigh those things. In Deuteronomy, we're told, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." And then he reminds you to post his kindness and his truth and his blessing all throughout your house. Talk about it to your kids all the time, in the morning, in the afternoon, at dinner, when you put them to bed. And then he says to them, "And when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and when you eat and are full, then take care lest you forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." It's a reminder that God has given us so much. We didn't earn any of it. He just pours his blessings out upon us. In fact, if he gave us what we had earned or what we did deserve, it would not be such a tremendous blessing. So this should produce in us a tremendous heart of gratitude. So this is a reminder of the things that God has done for us this last year. I think Providence is a really great church. I know that you agree. What is so great about it? How about our commitment to God's word as ultimate and infallible? Teaching practical faithful obedience for marriage and raising children. Beautiful historic covenant renewal worship, psalm and hymn singing, Christian education for our children, an accountable community of saints who know and love each other. And at the center of all this goodness, gratitude and joy. But joy only lasts as long as gratitude. And since no pastor or elders or deacons or congregants even are perfect, no church is either. And if one were to inspect the old knitted sweater of Providence Church with an eye to perfection, it would be easy to pick out the flaws in pastors, elders, deacons, loved ones, and friends, and the person sitting right next to you. And picking flaws improves eyesight for flaws. Oops, there's another one. And the sweater begins to unravel as flaw picking is joy killing. Gratitude is wonderful, but it has a poor effect on your eyesight. Flaws that cause complaints begin to pale and drift away in the oblivion of gratitude. This is the heart of the passage that says that love covers a multitude of sins. It covers them so well that it sometimes just doesn't even see them anymore. And the finicky mind objects that covering sins is somehow sinful itself. But the biblical mind insists that covering sins is the very thing that Jesus came to do. Saints, cultivate gratitude. Even given our troubles last year, our church remains steady in the things that matter most and keeps blessing our work. Those things are covenant renewal worship, Bible reading, expository preaching, psalm singing, Christian education for our children, regular Christian fellowship. These things grow the kingdom of God, which is the primary mission for every one of you. The Bible reading challenge is something that continues. Many of you participate in that and have done so for many years, reading through the Bible every year. This is the key to maturity individually and corporately. And when, if you're a preacher up here in the pulpit, when you're preaching to a biblically literate congregation, it makes it much easier. Allusions and various things that you begin to understand and see the work that God is doing. So this is key. We're a Bible-centered church. The Bible is our ultimate and infallible authority. We need to be corrected by the scriptures all the time, in the pulpit and in the pews. And so continue to read the scriptures, study it, know it, pray about it, become transformed, be a Bible person. The membership in our church, we now have 350 members. That's down about 100 from this time last year. If you recall, we had about 125 people all leave at one time. And then throughout the year, about another 40 or people so moved out of the area. That's a big change for a church of our size in one year. But even with that much change, our church has been stable and peaceful since the troubled waters of the fall of 2024 and the first few months of 2025. Our average attendance for last year was 345, down about 64 from the previous year. Our record attendance was on January 12th last year of 449. But we had many visitors in 2025, many new members, and we ended up, although there was a 163 member loss, we ended up with a net loss of about 120 members. And we currently have all sorts of new folks who are regular attenders, about 50 or so that are attending our church who have not joined yet, and we expect that many of them will join this year. So we thank God for the stability and the growth and the peace that our church has experienced in the last 7 or 8 months, at least. We had a new deacon this year, Reagan Brooks. We're thankful for him and for the ministry of the deacons. David Cooper was elected as presiding minister of Augustan Presbytery the year before, but I remind you that one of our elders is serving as the presiding minister of our presbytery, so God is using our church to minister to the broader church as well. New staff. My daughter-in-law, Eva Hurt, retired to take care of my grandson, Braxton. I'm glad for her retirement and the extra attention that Braxton is going to get. Jacob Lovell is our new secretary, and he is beginning that work now. Young man that just graduated from Liberty University and hopes to do teach in a Christian school and to do Christian ministry down the road. So we're thankful to have him working within the church, and hopefully that will benefit him long term. Our paid, some additional paid staff we have in the church, to remember, our treasurer is Andrew Akers, and Ada Tuckwiller is our custodian. So we thank them for the work that they do here at Providence. I seem to have lost track now of the actual number of children born to the mothers in our church, but it's a bunch. We believe that our women are exemplary, and we hold them in high esteem. Ladies of Providence, y'all are doing your job to be fruitful and replenish the earth. Do so more and more. We currently have 9 expectant mothers through August, and we look forward to welcoming all these little ones into Christ's church. But remember that it's not just children that we are after. We're after faithful children. So be diligent in your duties in raising them in your homes. In our church, we have about 400 attenders right now. We have 210 between the ages of 0 and 18. So we have a large number of youth. And of that youth, we have 64 teenagers. So we have a large number of teenagers going to Bibloids and being encouraged there by our pastors to be obedient to their parents and follow hard after Christ. Babies born in 2025. Also, I think I keep pretty good notes and track of these things. If I forget somebody, my apologies ahead of time. Babies born in 2025, Juliet Gay, Marigold Beach, Liam Klaus, David O'Kane, Phoebe Murch, Elodie Richer, Margaret Akers, Aiden Todd, Braxton Hurt, Lucy Norman, Oliver Irwin. We rejoice with them. We also remember that in this last year, some of our ladies had miscarriages. And this is something to remember and to pray for them. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. With this number of babies, if we think forward a little bit, on average, we're having 12 to 15 babies a year. That's going to be probably at least 50 new babies in the next 5 years, probably 150 new babies over the next 10 years. And so God continues to add to our midst. And we don't really have a very much of an aging congregation. Many of the new people are just married, you know, just maybe hadn't had a child yet or have one or two children. So we're going to continue to see lots of new babies and children growing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord here. That is a very good method to replenish the earth and to evangelize the world. And we thank God for the fruitfulness of this church. Baptisms in 2025, we had 21 children baptized. Marriages, we had 4. Maren Cooper to Wyatt Haynes, Ellie Walker to Ethan Shelberg, Hannah Cook to Ethan Fennell, Laura Combs to Travis Labossier Hickman. Probably going to be more weddings this year or in the next couple years. So we also have quite a number of young adults in our church in the marriageable age who are looking for spouses. Remember them. Remember to pray for them and that God will provide suitable spouses for them. Some of you may be aware, I started several years ago a group that I call Free Birds, thinking that they're free of the necessity to constantly be watching little ones in their home. And that group is for those 50 and over. And when I started that, there was about 8 of us, I think. And now there's 32 in that group. And there's 32 that are over 50, 18 of whom are over 60, 3 that are over 70. We still have just a small over 70 group. Why do I mention that? Our church really is still very young, average age-wise, but it's still also young in the age of the church. We're in our 25th year, but we're still not a fully mature church. A fully mature church would be one in which there's a regular spate of funerals as well as baptisms and weddings, and everything in between. I thank God we haven't had many funerals, and probably will not have very many more until my time of retirement comes. I mean, I was one of the oldest ones when I started our church, and there's only a few folks in our church that are older than me. But that's part of the growth of the church. For us to fully mature church, we're going to have people at all ages. Some churches, this happens, and they just all grow old, and then they disappear. That's happening to many churches in the United States. I thank God that as we've grown older, I think our average age actually has gotten less because we're adding lots of young people and lots of babies. So that's a sign of a healthy church. 2025 deaths and serious health issues. We had one person die, Larry Christman, who was not officially a member of our church, but that's Rodney's father. Larry and Joan are sort of unofficial members if you will, and many of you knew him, and so he is now with the Lord. We have quite a few people that still struggle with various illnesses, and this is a reminder to remember them, to pray for them, and that when one member suffers, the whole body suffers. Don't forget those who struggle in body and mind. Keep them in your prayers and serve them as you are able. We have many new folks in our church. It continues that most of the people that come to our church are from a Baptist background. Last few years, we've had a few people come our direction that were already sort of Reformed and maybe had a Presbyterian background, but that's the exception. Most of the people are coming from a Baptistic background. So I remind you of that, to remind you to be patient, to pray for them. They're embracing all sorts of things that are very different for them, our style of worship, our theology, our view of children, communion. There's a lot of changes that are going on, and these are really important things in their lives. And so sometimes one spouse comes to these convictions before the other one, but they have to maintain a peace and union in their home and in their marriage. So be gracious and kind, answer questions, but don't be in a hurry to try to convert somebody to your way of thinking today. New members in 2025. Juliet Gay, Marigold Beach, Jonathan Jewell, Ginger, Judah, and Calvin Hoffman, Will Andrews, Natalie Andrews, Isaac Phillips, Evan, Ellen, Shadrach, Esther, Michael, and Phoebe Merch, Liam Klaus, Ethan Shelberg, David O'Kane, Elodie Richard, Margaret Akers, Aiden Todd, Braxton Hurt, Oliver Irwin, Emmanuel Wong, Joe, Rebecca, Peter, and Maria Cochran, Zach Cassie and Knox Shepherd, Isaac, Chelsea, Jacob, and Jackson Shepherd, Marsho Primer, Elizabeth Toms, Jake, Katrina, and Lucy Norman. I hope I didn't forget anybody. Welcome all. It's so exciting to see God continue to add to Providence Church. Building. Our plans keep changing, and that's okay. You need to make plans, but always hold your plans loosely. We've had a lot of change in the last year, and so our building plans have changed. We recently had a very large gift of $286,000 from the John Locke Trust Foundation, John Locke Trust, and we used it to pay off our mortgage in full. That was a tremendous blessing, and will no doubt have an impact on our future decisions about building plans. Providence Fellowship of Scholars continues to go strong. Last year, KuiperCon 2025, we had Andrew Krapuschets and Timothy Vandenbroek delivered excellent lectures and a Sunday sermon on Christian entrepreneurs. This was good timing as we have several budding entrepreneurs in our midst. They're all thinking about how to use their business and financial success to grow God's kingdom in 2026 and beyond. KuiperCon 2026, you may have seen in the bulletin, we have C.R. Wiley coming this summer. So that's going to be an excellent time as well. Men's Forum books, we did Measure of the Mission by Rich Lusk, Rules for Fellowship by John Owen, 5 Points of Presbyterianism by Thomas Witherspoon, Flying In by G.K. Chesterton, How to Exasperate Your Wife by Douglas Wilson. And the ladies did Measures of the Mission, Rules for Fellowship, also My Dear Hemlock by Tilly Dillehay, and Persuasion by Jane Austen. That's a good list of books. We covered all those books in 1 year. Our purpose of those studies is just for you to read. Read your Bible and read broadly. Be readers, especially you kids. Don't always just be on your phone watching things, or even always just listening to things. If you only listen to things, you're going to lose reading. We're in danger of this in our culture. Sit down, get rid of the noise, read a book. Ladies, one of your big ministries is Meals Ministries. Eva was planning those last year. Many of you do, we do a meals for every baby that is born for the mothers, and that's a tremendous ministry. There are going to be a lot of babies born this year, so if you haven't signed up for a meal in the past, we encourage you to do that and spread out that work. Also, showers for new mothers and for weddings. continue that kind of service to one another. It's beautiful and good. Hospitality is a big part of our church, having people in your home, particularly on the Lord's Day. Other days are fine as well, but we want to take that day away. Remember, that's reading from Scripture today, keeping the Lord's Day as a Sabbath, holy to the Lord. Part of that is fellowshipping with the saints. It's a good day to have people over and in your home. The college study continues to go strong. Kyle and Tony Harris host that at their home, and the Lord blesses that ministry there. This last year, I preached through Acts. I finished on the last Sunday of the year. Pastor Davis preached through Ruth and started Malachi. Pastor Simmons is preaching through Galatians. So we've had a lot of Bible in this last year. We have a couple of church plants, one in Richmond and one in Orange, Virginia, and those are both going well. So, last thing, I have various church ministries sort of outside of Providence or outside of my specific ministry here. I'm a board member of DomNet. Somebody else is now serving as the chairman of that. I'm also a board member of Reformed Evangelical Seminary. They've now replaced me since they hired me as the next president of the seminary. And I will do those marriage and family conferences. I did one in Jacksonville, Florida last year, and we'll be doing another one in Lancaster, PA later this year. I also will be attending some Presbytery meetings and events representing RES. And so continue to pray for me and pray for our church as we work out the future for Providence and the various roles that will be changing somewhat in this year and in the years to come. So at the start of 2026, it is looking like this year is going to be another big growth year for us, especially what we've seen in the last few months, lots of new folks. So do not grow weary in doing good. You are doing well in loving the saints, welcoming new people. Do so more and more. This continued growth is a good challenge with which the Lord is entrusting us. Many of these people are new to the Reformed faith, new to the CREC, and of course new to our church. This means that it takes a while for them to fully understand the foundations of the good fruit that they see. So they see that, that's what they want, but they may not understand the process in order to get there. It's like, you know, people often, they see you and see the good behavior of your children. And how do you get kids like that? And they want the fruit, but they don't want the work to get the fruit. And you say, well, do you have some time? We can really talk about it. They don't want to really hear about how you get there. So be patient. It takes time to understand how all the pieces of the puzzle fit together. The main goal for you is to be a good example to yourself in how you love your wife, how you love your husband, how you treat your children, and how you work, study, and worship, namely in how you embrace Christ in every area of your life. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your great work among us this last year. We thank you for the unity that we have in our church that is apparent, that your Spirit is here ministering to us, growing us, teaching us gratitude and contentment. We pray that you would continue to bless us in this year, give us wisdom about the future, and we pray that in all things we would honor you. Amen. Each year we have sorrows and joys. We hope the number of joys is greater than the number of sorrows. But one thing we do know, the joys outweigh the sorrows. This last year, as well as in the years to come. How can we know this? We know this because the weight of glory is God's goodness to us in Jesus Christ. Though all the world's ills should fall heavy upon us, for those of us in Christ, all is still well with our souls. This meal is a picture of that sort of comfort and confidence. The number of ills may overwhelm you, but your Heavenly Father has not abandoned you. He speaks peace and rest to you in His Son and in His Spirit. The joy of the Lord is communion with him. Rest easy, saints. All is well. The bread which we share is the communion of the body of Christ. May the Spirit nourish you to everlasting life as you trust in the Lord Jesus and receive Christ's body broken for you.